Collecting the ingredients and preparing them for the smoke mixture formed a yearly cycle. The first year, Don Juan taught me the procedure. In December of 1962, the second year, when the cycle was renewed, Don Juan merely directed me. I collected the ingredients myself, prepared them, and put them away until the next year. In December 1963, a new cycle started for the third time. As soon as we had finished the third collecting and preparing cycle, Don Juan began to talk about the smoke as an ally for the first time in more than a year. Tuesday, December 31st, 1963. On Thursday, December 26th, I had my first experience with Don Juan's ally, the smoke. Without giving me an opportunity to say anything, Don Juan told me he was going to light his pipe for me right then. I tried to dissuade him, arguing that I did not believe I was ready. I told him I felt I had not handled the pipe for a long enough time, but he said there was not much time left for me to learn, and I had to use the pipe very soon. He brought the pipe out of its sack and fondled it. I sat on the floor next to him and frantically tried to get sick and pass out, to do anything, to put off this unavoidable step. He held the pipe in his left hand, and with an extremely swift movement of his right hand, picked up a burning piece of charcoal and put it into the bowl of the pipe. Then he sat up straight, and holding the pipe with both hands, put it to his mouth and puffed three times. He stretched his arms to me and told me in a forceful whisper to take the pipe with both hands and smoke. The thought of refusing the pipe and running away crossed my mind for an instant, but Don Juan demanded again, still in a whisper, that I take the pipe and smoke. I looked at him. His eyes were fixed on me, but his stare was friendly, concerned. It was clear that I had made the choice a long time before. There was no alternative but to do what he said. Don Juan told me to inhale. The smoke flowed into my mouth and seemed to circulate there. It was heavy. I felt as though I had a mouthful of dough. The simile occurred to me, although I had never had a mouthful of dough. The smoke was also like menthol, and the inside of my mouth suddenly became cold. It was a refreshing sensation. Again. Again. Suddenly, Don Juan leaned over and took the pipe from my hands. He tapped the ashes gently on the dish with the charcoals, then he wet his finger with saliva and rotated it inside the bowl to clean its sides. He blew through the stem repeatedly. I saw him put the pipe back into its sheath. His actions held my interest. Don Juan sat next to me, to my right, and without moving held the pipe sheath against the floor as though keeping it down by force. My hands were heavy. My arms sagged, pulling my shoulders down. My nose was running. I wiped it with the back of my hand, and my upper lip was rubbed off. I wiped my face, and all the flesh was wiped off. I was melting. I felt as if my flesh was actually melting. I jumped to my feet and tried to grab hold of something, anything with which to support myself. I was experiencing a terror I had never felt before. I held onto a pole that Don Juan keeps stuck on the floor in the center of his room. I stood there for a moment, then I turned to look at him. He was still, sitting motionless, holding his pipe, staring at me. My breath was painfully hot, or cold. It was choking me. I bent my head forward to rest it on the pole, but apparently I missed it, and my head kept on moving downward beyond the point where the pole was. I stopped when I was nearly down to the floor. I pulled myself up. The pole was there in front of my eyes. I tried again to rest my head on it. I tried to control myself and to be aware and kept my eyes open as I leaned forward to touch the pole with my forehead. It was a few inches from my eyes, but as I put my head against it, I had the queerest feeling that I was going right through it. In a desperate search for a rational explanation, I concluded that my eyes were distorting depth and that the pole must have been 10 feet away, even though I saw it directly in front of my face. I then conceived a logical, rational way to check the position of the pole. I began moving sideways around it, one little step at a time. My argument was that in walking around the pole in that way, I couldn't possibly make a circle more than 5 feet in diameter. If the pole was really 10 feet away from me or beyond my reach, a moment would come when I would have my back to it. I trusted that at that moment the pole would vanish, because in reality it would be behind me. I then proceeded to circle the pole, but it remained in front of my eyes as I went around it. In a fit of frustration, I grabbed it with both hands, but my hands went through it. I was grabbing the air. I carefully calculated the distance between the pole and myself. I figured it must be 3 feet. That is, my eyes perceived it as 3 feet. I played for a moment with the perception of depth by moving my head from one side to the other, focusing each eye in turn on the pole and then on the background. According to my way of judging depth, the pole was unmistakably before me, possibly 3 feet away. Stretching out my arms to protect my head, I charged with all my strength. The sensation was the same. I went through the pole. This time I went all the way to the floor. I stood up again, and standing up was perhaps the most unusual of all the acts I performed that night. I thought myself up. In order to get up, I did not use my muscles and skeletal frame in the way I'm accustomed to doing, because I no longer had control over them. I knew it the instant I hit the ground. But my curiosity about the pole was so strong, I thought myself up in a kind of reflex action, and before I fully realized I could not move, I was up.